From the studios of WXXI, this is Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. In 1999, pianist Rebecca Penny's began the Salon Concert Series with cellist Stefan Reuss. A few years into the run, violinist Mikhail Koppelman joined them. Over the years, they have explored the varied and interesting world of great piano trios. Today on Backstage Pass, we celebrate the series and the friendship that has grown among these three brilliant musicians. Three's Company next on WXXI. Welcome to Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. We are celebrating the Salon Concert Series on this Backstage Pass, and we're also celebrating friendship, which is nice because this whole season for the Salon Concert Series has been, Rebecca, all about friendship. Rebecca Penny's is our pianist. Welcome.
Thank you.
Our violinist is Misha Koppelman. Welcome.
Thank you.
And our cellist is Stefan Reuss.
Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. So it was all about and has been all about friendship. Tell me about the series. How did this get started, the Salon Concert Series? Rebecca?
Well, it started because Sid Sobel, who's a retired oncologist, wanted to have a chamber music series, and he approached Stefan, and Stefan approached me, and the three of us got together. He wanted to start it at the Rochester Academy of Medicine. He's been, just incredibly imaginative and clever with doing this. It's supported by donations, the series, and as you know, that's a really beautiful space where we have our concerts. And we've been doing this since 1998, and next year will be our 20th anniversary season. So it's a big celebration season coming up for us.
It's a huge celebration season. That's a long time for a series to run and run successfully as well. And it has been successful, hasn't it, Stefan?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and especially... This season was especially nice for us, this friendship season, because we came back to the Academy. For 3 years, we were at Asbury Church, and the people there were wonderful, and we made a lot of new friends there. And then we came back to the Academy, which, of course, is an ideal place for chamber music. And that was one of the reasons why we had this title of this whole year, this whole season, as friendship, as a friendship in, and then also in music and among composers.
And you've had more than just a venue change from time to time. You've had a couple of personnel changes with your violinist.
Since the beginning, that's true. When we started in 1998, Rebecca and I began with Ilya Kahler, who then at that time was just brand new as concertmaster of the RPO. And then, of course, he left after about roughly 5 years, I think. And then at that point, around that time, Misha joined the faculty of the Eastman School of Music, and Rebecca approached him, and voila, here we are.
Rebecca, what was it about Misha? And we'll talk about Misha as if he's not in the room. What is it about
Misha? I don't think we can do that.
What was it about Misha that inspired you to talk to him?
He's a great chamber music player, one of the best in the world, or maybe the best violinist chamber music person in the world. And he's a lovely person, easy to work with. And he wanted to play piano trio, so it was perfect. You know, when we first started this series, we were not committed to playing just trios. In fact, I think it's only this year that we finally have a name called the Academy Trio. But we started with trios, sonatas, piano quartets, different things. And about the third year, Sid Sobel said, I want just trios. So, we developed this idea of just trios?
Well, just trios is something because it seems to me when we hear chamber music series, we see a lot of quartets, we see a lot of sonatas, we even see some wind stuff from time to time. But piano trios don't seem to pop up as often in chamber series. So why is that?
You asking me?
Yeah, sure.
You're asking the wrong person. I'm a subjective person about it. It's a wonderful mix because, you know, you have basically not too many instruments. You have two sound sources. You have violin and cello, which are beautifully opposed, and they blend very well. And then you have a piano. Some people consider this a percussion instrument. I consider it a string instrument. But still, it's two different sound sources, and it's a lovely blend. It's not too cluttered, and you have composers that write for these three instruments as solo instruments, and they blend together. You don't quite get that mix in piano quartets or piano quintets. And it's certainly a different kettle of fish in string quartet or string trio. So
let's hear this wonderful trio in action on Backstage Pass as we go to music for the very first time. We are going to be listening to two different composers who were good friends. And our first composer is Dvorak. This is the second movement of his Piano Trio No. 1 in B-flat, Opus 21, as the Salon Concert Series comes to Backstage Pass on Classical 91.5. That was the second movement of Dvorak's Piano Trio No. 1, played for us by Rebecca Pennies, the pianist, the violinist, Misha Kopelman, and cellist, Stefan Royce. So, Misha, big words of praise from Rebecca about you. She said you were one of the finest chamber musicians in the world. I would tend to concur. You have a long history of chamber groups, actually. You were in the Borodin, first violin of the Borodin Quintet for how long?
20 years.
20 years. Why did you leave?
Because I left Russia.
Was that hard?
It was hard in a way, but I was ready to leave.
So when you left the Borodin and you left Russia, you came to the United States. And where did you land up? Where was your first school that you ended up when you came to the States?
Actually, I was lucky because I became immediately first violinist of the Tokyo Quartet for 6 years.
Was that very different, the working environment, the performance environment at the Borodin Quartet and the Tokyo String Quartet?
Yes, certainly it's very different. First of all, this school is different. Mentality was different. Intonation was different. Many differences.
So you would have pieces of music that you had played with one that you would have to play with the other very differently?
Yes. But in a way, of course, we needed to come together to each other. So we worked very hard in different aspects of the string quartet playing. But still, it was not easy.
You teach chamber music playing at the Eastman School of Music. How does one teach chamber music playing?
Well, mainly I'm teaching violin. I have also chamber music groups. Well, I always enjoy to coach chamber groups because all my life in chamber music. And by the way, talking about trios, before I joined professional string quartet, like Borodin Quartet, I played only in piano trios, which I love to play. As a student in Moscow Conservatory, even before. So it just happened that I became first violinist of the string quartet. So when I joined the faculty of Eastman School and Rebecca and Stefan offered me to play with them, so I was very happy. I'm still happy after 15 years.
Going back to your roots in many ways.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful sound, Rebecca. You said it's not cluttered. The thing that as I was listening to you play at the Dvorak, is how clearly each voice gets to step forward and have a moment.
That's, I think, the beauty of a piano trio. It's an unusual combination, and it has a very rich and wonderful literature.
Well, you actually have been playing in piano trios yourself for quite some time.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've always divided my time between playing solo and chamber music. And, you know, everybody starts their instrument, period. You have to learn how to do that. But I was a student of George Shevek and studied chamber music with Joe Gingold and Janos Starker at Indiana University, and I was just bitten by the chamber music bug there because at that time the Beaux-Arts Trio was there, and so it was just, you know, you got to get bitten by the chamber music bug, and I think it's safe to say once you're infected, it's a wonderful infection and lasts for your whole life, and it really makes you richer in a very special way. And of course, whenever you play with different people, you change because, you know, it's not the same. So of course, that's like having a conversation with different people. You don't expect the same response from every person. And so one of the joys is to get different ideas and listen to how this person turns the phrase and respond. It's a conversation, and it's lovely because you're not alone.
When you've been having this conversation for as long as the three of you have been having this musical conversation, does it become easier? Do you begin, Stefan, to almost automatically know the cues of where Rebecca's going to go with that or what Misha's going to do?
Yeah, well, playing together for as long as we have, after a while, things become intuitive. And you breathe together and, you know, so that's absolutely right. Yeah, so it makes it much easier.
Well, let's hear you breathe together again, yeah. Shall we? This is Backstage Pass, and we are listening to pianist Rebecca Penny's, violinist Misha Kopelman, and Stefan Reuss. And we're going to return now to Dvorak for the third movement of his piano trio number 1 in B-flat, the Allegro Scherzando. This is Backstage Pass.
Thank you.
The third movement of Dvorak's Piano Trio No. 1, the Allegro Scherzando, played by the Salon Concert musicians. That was Stefan Reuss playing the cello. The violinist is Mikhail Koppelman. Pianist is Rebecca Penis. Stefan, you're on the hot seat. You were the principal cellist with the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra for how many years?
25 years, a quarter of a century.
A quarter of a century.
That's right, and it went by like it was nothing.
And you left. Why did you leave the orchestra?
Oh, there were many reasons. A personal reason was that my mother had passed away, and I wanted a little more freedom in traveling because my father was still alive, and I wanted to be able to see him more often. Of course, my parents lived in Germany, I should say that, so it wasn't so easy. And, of course, being in the orchestra, you have quite some restrictions as far as scheduling, and you're not as flexible. So that was sort of the immediate reason. But then, you know, I had played orchestra all my life. As a student, of course, everywhere I was, I played orchestra. I played a lot of orchestra when I was in New York City, when I went to Juilliard. I was in two orchestras, actually. It was one of the Juilliard orchestras. I was in the National Orchestral Association, great orchestra at the time. And then wherever I was, I played orchestra. And so, you know, it comes to a point where you say, you know, I've been there, done that. And I was close to retirement age, and I thought it's a good time to stop with that and to continue with what always was my love, which is chamber music.
In fact, you were the music director of the Society for Chamber Music in Rochester for quite some time.
That's right, co-music director with Joe Werner, who's the pianist of the orchestra. That's right, 12 years actually we did that.
So I would ask if you missed the orchestral experience, but it doesn't sound like you miss it that much.
No, I really don't, I have to say, I don't. And I think the main reason is simply because I've done it all my life. You know, I've done it. And don't get me wrong, it was great. And I have wonderful memories. And being part of an orchestra of this wonderful sound machine is fantastic. And I had the opportunity to play many of the great solos in the symphonic repertoire. I also had the opportunity to be a soloist with the orchestra and play many of the great cello concertos. So I look back with great joy and happiness, actually.
You also played as a concertmaster. You've also played in an orchestra as well, Misha.
Yes, I did. I played, but short, very short period of time. I played in Bolshoi Theater Orchestra for almost 2 years and a little bit more than 1 year in Moscow Philharmonic.
And why did you leave the orchestra?
Because I was invited to the Borodin String Quartet.
So clearly you don't miss the orchestral experience.
Well, all my life was with string quartet, so I didn't have experience as long as Stefan. I didn't miss. That's true.
It's funny how these things work, you know. I mean, I actually wanted to play string quartet all my life. I always wanted to, and it never worked out. And I actually ended up, as far as chamber music is concerned, just like Rebecca, I ended up playing trio, or piano trio, most of my life.
Stefan, that's never late.
It's just, you know, it's just how things work out. It's
So the magic magnet here, then, is Rebecca Pennies, who managed to find these two men and put them together to create this trio.
Well, you know, I put my original trio was the New Arts Trio, which started in 1974 and was twice the recipient of the Nambri Chamber Music Award with now-deceased Peter Janowski and Steve Doan. But it went through many, many years, up until 2 years ago when the then violinist of the trio, Jacques Israelovich, passed away, and the cellist was R.A. Lipsky, and it was the trio in residence at Chautauqua for 34 years. And then, of course, I no longer go to Chautauqua. I moved my piano program to Florida, and so on and so forth.
You also have an interesting summer thing that you do with pianists, and I'd like to talk to you about that.
Okay.
But let's go back to music and hear the second of these two wonderful friends that we have on the schedule today, and that is Brahms. So we'll be listening to the second movement of Brahms' Piano Trio in C, the Andante con Moto. Our pianist is Rebecca Pennies with Mikhail Koppelman and Stefan Royce joining her. This is Backstage Pass. We're live from Studio E.
Thank you.
That was the second movement of Brahms' Piano Trio in C, Opus 87, played for us by the Salon Concert Trio. The cellist is Stefan Royce, the violinist, Misha Kuppelman, and playing the piano is Rebecca Pennies. And Rebecca, the most important person in the room, your page turner.
Ina Song.
Thank you, Ina, for being here today. So let's talk about your work with, I assume, probably Ina and other students as a teacher. You have this Rebecca Pennies Piano Festival. So year five, how's that going?
Great. We had 140 applicants from 24 different countries, and we selected 38. It's tuition-free. We have a nice donor base. We do it at the University of South Florida in Tampa, a beautiful new building, all Steinway School. And we have a distinguished faculty of 19. Students get to have lessons daily if they want, and we have concerts and what we call an ambassador series where we send the students out in the community to play. So it's been extremely successful, and of course, students can, it's like a Turkish bazaar for them. They can sample people, instructors, pianists, the teachers play, the students play, and it's very, very intense. It's 3 weeks. It includes a dolphin cruise, a visit to the Chihuly Museum, and a beach day and barbecue. So what's not to like?
The barbecue, you had me at barbecue. Actually, you had me at the dolphin cruise.
Well, actually, my favorite is the dolphin cruise.
I'm sorry, I'm not a pianist. I would like to come.
See, now Stefan's jealous.
Right. Well, not for long, because one of my projects in the next years is to start, the name of the festival is becoming known as RPPF, but I want to start traveling chamber music by RPPF.
So pencil that into your calendar.
Yeah, pencil it in, because you're going to get an invitation one of these days.
That sounds promising.
There you go. Now, why did you decide to start this?
Well, I was at Chautauqua for 34 years, and that was a long, long time. We sold our house and moved to Florida. I've been commuting to Eastman for 6 years. And
it's a long commute.
Right, and I've been at Eastman. This is my 37th year. That's more than half of my lifetime. And Ray and I wanted to make a change in lifestyle. We wanted to actually have an organic garden, grow our own food. We wanted to live on the water. We swim in the Gulf every day. So, I turned 70. He is 76. And, you never know when your number is up. And I wanted to open new windows and do new things. And one of my big, big goals is to, I want to leave, the earth trying to make it better. And I want to give as a gift this opportunity for talents, piano talents, whether they're rich or poor, to come and have an opportunity. All they have to do is get there. And actually, we're starting to help some of them get there. So I think it makes a huge difference. And, most of these summer festivals are extremely expensive, and they really become just for the, upper class or upper middle class. So I just want to do my little teeny tiny part there.
What tweaks and changes have you made in it from when you started it to where it stands now in year five?
It's getting bigger every year. You have to get more pianos in or change the location. We have to find another boat, probably for the dolphin cruise that only holds 50. There are always limitations. But we have gotten much more creative. I mean, the other thing about the festival is I try to focus on things that we don't focus in the academic curriculum, because, no academic curriculum can teach everything. So we have attention memory training, how to deal with stress. We talk about that. We have special topics classes. We talk about living theory, how to understand music and the emotion. This summer, we're going to be talking about the spirituality of Brahms. So these very interesting, the traditions of pedaling. We have a legacy series where we just talk about very old pianists like Abby Simon, who's now 95, and Menachem Presser. But we also talk about, how to pedal. How was the piano played when Brahms was alive? What did he think? So all of that's very interesting to them.
So in your 37 years of playing piano or teaching piano at the Eastman School of Music, have you seen a distinct change in style of piano playing?
Oh, absolutely.
So how has piano playing changed since you started?
Well, I think anybody would tell you that it's louder and faster than it was 50 years ago. There's, you know, two aspects to this. One is that the level, I think everybody would say the level of instrumental playing, whether it's string playing or piano playing, has really gone up. And with that, of course, and there's more people playing instruments, but that doesn't mean the communication has gotten deeper and richer. And of course, that's always the challenge, because everybody that plays any instrument loves music, and they get a high, so to speak, from the music. So the question is how to be more and more creative and how to have your special signature and make it your voice, your unique voice.
We're listening to the Salon Concert Series, Play the Salon Trio. And let's go back to music for what will be our final piece of music for this backstage pass. We'll be listening to Brahms again, this time, the Scherzo, the third movement of his piano trio in C. We are live from Studio E. Thank you. The third movement of Brahms' Piano Trio in C, the Scherzo, played by the Ceylon Trio. Pianist is Rebecca Pennies, the violinist Mikhail Koppelman, Misha, and we had the cellist Stefan Royce. Rebecca was talking about changes in playing. Have you seen changes in playing in violins and violinists over the years as you've been teaching, Misha?
I would say the same thing happening in strings, string department.
Faster, louder.
Well, technically, it's really fantastic these days. But like Rebecca said, the communication, personalities, this is so important.
Bringing the soul into it.
Yeah, personalities. Not only soul, but individuality, you know, this is missing.
As a teacher, I would assume this is one of the things that you need to sort of try to bring to your students and get them to put their own touch, their own personality into it. Is that difficult to do?
It's not easy.
You know, I'd like to just add that one of the things that makes it a little bit more difficult than it used to be is the tremendous advance, which is not to say it's all bad, of technology. You know, YouTube is extremely popular, and, you know, the students listen to YouTube, and they don't necessarily listen with good speakers or with good headsets. So, you know, a lot of the quality and nuance of the sound, or, you know, a lot of old-time artists, a lot of traditions are not going to be passed on by YouTube, let's put it that way. So that makes it a little bit harder, too. And legacy is something I think that has to be approached more and more educationally.
I've heard this a lot, that we've gotten so used to the digital perfection that the joy of the imperfection has been lost in the performance, in the world of performance. We've been talking about the Ceylon concert series, and Stefan, you're as one of the originators of this concert series, and it's become very popular. It's had huge longevity. How long do you think this can go on?
The sky's the limit, I guess. As long as we are all three willing to continue this, but actually, I hope that the series as such will continue after we, the three of us, are not there anymore, because I think it would be really nice to continue to have a series in this beautiful space, which really is just like a salon as it was in, you know, 19th century Vienna, where this music that we are playing was mainly performed.
So where do you want to go with this, Rebecca?
With this series as it exists now? Well, I think we are going to stay in this trio and play trios for as long as we can play. I mean, it's true I live in Florida, but, you know, Southwest has a direct flight, so it'll be fun to fly up and do trios, and we'll see what happens. You know, we know we have a season for next year. We have our dates and everything, and we've always gone 1 year at a time.
Are you ever going to commission anything?
Well, we do have, we did commission.
Yeah, actually, we had, you know, Rebecca mentioned Sid Sobel, the radiation oncologist in town who started this whole thing. And he commissioned many years ago, this was during the first 5 years, he commissioned a piece by the Spanish composer Lorenzo Palomo. And he wrote a trio for this series for us. And we performed it a couple of times, so that happened already. Maybe we can do that again at some point.
Well, I know that we all look forward to your next 20 years in the salon playing together.
So do we.
20 years. Okay. We'll see.
That's at on least. The table now, at least.
At least.
There you go.
There's your optimist.
Well, thank you for having us.
It was a real pleasure.
Wonderful to be here.
Our director and our executive producer is Gene Fisher. Our audio engineer is Andrew Croucher, with help from Robert Braden. Our intern is Kim Rouse. I'm your host and producer, Julia Figueres. And many thanks to you, to the Ceylon Concert Trio, pianist Rebecca Pennies, violinist Misha Koppelman, and cellist Stefan Royce. Backstage Pass is a production of WXXI Public Broadcasting. Thank you.
This is Classical 91.5 and 90.3.